This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Conyers steps down, Franken appears. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, November 27th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Michigan Congressman John Conyers gives up his seat on the House Judiciary Committee over sexual harassment claims, while Minnesota Senator Al Franken gives his first interviews.
Awkward in Washington, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will have two acting directors when it opens for business today. We'll explain how.
Today is Cyber Monday, a traditional time to snag online bargains for the holidays. We'll have an expert discuss how to best protect your payment data.
And the best and worst cities in which to retire.
You need to look beyond what the natural narrative is when you go to retire. You need to think about what's going to actually affect your life over the next 30 years. And Pittsburgh came out on top because it has a very good healthcare system. You get good quality healthcare for decent prices, as a good cost of living score.
Taylor Tepper at Bankrate.com says don't necessarily think sun and golf when you're guessing the best cities to retire. His list in about 20 minutes. Michigan Congressman John Conyers is stepping down from his post as the top Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee while an ethics panel investigates allegations of sexual harassment against him. Mr. Conyers has acknowledged that he settled a wrongful dismissal claim in 2015 involving a former female employee, but he denied allegations of sexual harassment. He again denied the allegations yesterday. Mr. Conyers said he settled the complaint to avoid litigation. California Congressman Jackie Speier on ABC's This Week says current law only gives victims 90 days to report an incident.
I think it was a system set up in 1995 to protect the harasser. This is not a victim-friendly process.
House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi on NBC said Mr. Conyers has, quote, done a great deal to protect women. It's not clear what she meant. The flurry of sexual misconduct claims in recent months has spurred the House and Senate to recently amend policies to require sexual harassment prevention training for all lawmakers and staff. President Trump is reiterating his stance that the election of Democrat Doug Jones to an Alabama Senate seat would mark a serious blow to the Republican agenda. That said, yesterday's comments did not explicitly say he was supporting GOP nominee Roy Moore, who faces allegations of sexual misconduct with teenagers from several decades ago. Mr. Trump supported Senator Luther Strange during the primary. Mr. Moore, a judge, has denied any sexual misconduct and has vowed to stay in the race. He's blamed the national media and Democrats for spreading what he called false allegations. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott was on ABC's This Week discussing Mr. Moore.
It is time for us to turn the page because it is not about partisan politics. It's not about electing Republicans versus Democrats. This is about the character of our country. I want to be on the side of right when history writes this story.
Mr. Moore is facing Democrat Doug Jones, a prosecutor, in a runoff to replace Jeff Sessions, who gave up the seat to become attorney general. The Alabama special election is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Should be an interesting day in the top office at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Two officials say they have a claim on the acting top job: White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney and Leandra English, an Obama official who was appointed Friday to lead the agency by former director Richard Cordray, who resigned. Ms. English sued the Trump administration yesterday to block Mr. Mulvaney from taking the position. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin was on CNN's State of the Union.
You can turn to Dodd and Frank, the co-sponsors of that legislation, and I read the provision. It says that when the director steps aside, the deputy director shall be in charge of the agency. Not may, shall be in charge.
Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina reacted on the same program.
I think the president's on good ground here to appoint somebody under the vacancy statute.
President Trump asserts he has the power to appoint an acting director, while Mr. Cordray, the departing boss, believes he has the power. The White House has said Mr. Trump will eventually nominate his own choice for the next permanent director of the CFPB. It is 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome in. The Transportation Security Administration has bad news for tens of millions of holiday travelers at the end of this year. If you haven't had a difficult enough time already over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, lines at airports may be even longer than usual as the agency tries once again to plug security holes in its baggage screening. It's a story from Stephanie Beasley, transportation security reporter at Politico. Stephanie, what's up here?
You have a few things happening here. TSA recently got a report or an audit from their Inspector General Watchdog Agency showing that there were some vulnerabilities, I guess, that inspectors found. And the reports are that TSA failed about between 70 and 80% of covert tests, which would include trying to get fake explosives through checkpoints, firearms, and other prohibited items. So TSA is still trying to react to this latest failing report card, which is, you know, coming about 2 years after a similar failing report from the Inspector General, and also trying to phase in, which you may be familiar with, this new electronics rule that they announced this summer, which is where passengers are going to have to take all of their large electronics outside of their carry-on bags and put them in a separate bin. So, yeah, you have sort of three elements happening at once here.
Well, and I know, too, you talked to that one congressman from Mississippi who he called that Inspector General report hair-raising and basically said not much improvement has been made, if any, in the last year and a half, 2 years.
Right. And so, you know, the report, the details of the report are still classified, but, you know, lawmakers were briefed on it, and most of them coming out of the briefing that I talked to have said that, yeah, they didn't see significant improvements. And this is after, you know, TSA following that 2015 report, you know, increased hand wanding of passengers and random bag checks, and they increased the number of bomb sniffing teams. So it doesn't seem like those efforts made a big dent in, you know, the findings that the IG got this last time.
Goodness. What does the TSA say for itself or on its own behalf here when it comes under fire like this?
Well, so I talked to the new administrator, David Pekoski, who just took over, I believe, in August. And, you know, at this point, he's still really new to the job and he's kind of figuring out his way. But, you know, he's talked about this electronics rule as being sort of the first part in how he plans to respond to this latest, you know, report from the IG. But he's also talked about, you know, trying to adopt new technology. There are CT scanners that, you know, your check bags go through, but they don't have at the checkpoints. But the TSA is trying to get machines that are small enough to fit at the checkpoint so that your carry-on baggage would go through the same type of rigors that your check baggage would go through. So that's another thing that he's looking into, technology. And also he's talked about trying to improve training for agents, and that's something that's been a problem for the agency, sort of inconsistent training. And you do happen to have, you know, high turnover with TSA agents, so you're retraining people all the time, and, you know, some people are maybe, you know, as with any job, some people are better at it than others. So.
Speaking with Stephanie Beasley, transportation security reporter at Politico. Her piece is called "With TSA on the Ropes, Holiday Travel May Be a Bear." Anybody take a stab as to how long things could be inconvenient for travelers?
Well, I mean, it seems like this holiday travel season may be the peak of it because, you know, the new electronics rule is just being phased in. They just started that this fall, and now we're going into Christmas, and they're expecting record numbers. So I would expect that you would see maybe the longest lines then, and maybe as, you know, the agency and passengers become more familiar, it'll kind of, you know, even out probably by, I'm assuming, after the holidays, maybe spring at the latest. But you know, I think when I talked to the administrator, he just said that he expects that we will not see these long lines for an extended period. It will be like a slight increase temporarily, but overall, he doesn't think this is going to add to, you know, wait times.
You mentioned these 3D X-ray machines called computed tomography scanners. Are they the end-all, be-all? Does that solve everything?
No, I don't think it will solve everything. I think you have to have all these pieces working in conjunction. You have to have agents that are paying attention to, you know, passengers looking for behavioral cues, and the CT scanners are one sort of element. Also, there's been talk about biometrics, which includes, you know, facial recognition technology, thumbprints, that type of thing. It's something that both TSA and Customs are looking to set up soon. So I think you're going to have lots of different pieces to this puzzle before maybe you see the kind of numbers or that the IG is looking for and that lawmakers, of course, are looking for because they don't want any failures.
Thanks, Stephanie. Stephanie Beasley, transportation security reporter at Politico. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in the government, official President Trump wants to pass over as acting director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau with his own budget chief is asking a federal court to block the president's appointment. Leandra English, who was elevated to the position of interim director of the CFPB by its outgoing director, filed a lawsuit last night seeking a declaratory judgment and a temporary restraining order to block White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney from taking over the Bureau. English cited the Dodd-Frank Act, which created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Minnesota Senator Al Franken says he feels embarrassed and ashamed amid allegations he groped several women, but that he looks forward to returning to work today and gradually regaining voters' trust. The Democrat spoke to a handful of media outlets yesterday, including Minnesota Public Radio. In his first interviews he's granted since being swept into a nationwide tide of sexual misconduct allegations.
I'm committed to working as hard as I can here in the Senate for the people of Minnesota. The Ethics Committee will be looking into all of this, and I will work with them in every way I can.
Four women have accused the senator of sexual misconduct. President Trump says electing a Democrat as Alabama's next senator would be a disaster. As the president tried to steer the Alabama race toward partisan legislative concerns and away from allegations of sexual misconduct against Republican Roy Moore. While Republican Senate leaders have criticized their party's nominee, Trump plunged into the Alabama Senate race with a pair of tweets yesterday bashing Democrat Doug Jones. New eruptions at a volcano in Bali shut down Indonesia's second busiest airport, disrupting the plans of thousands of vacationers. Authorities have raised the alert level to the highest. As the volcano spewed black ash more than 2 miles into the sky, 2 months ago, tremors forced the temporary evacuation of more than 130,000 people.
This isn't a dream, then. You're all really out there.
You thought we weren't?
Well, I don't know. I thought it might have been one of those made-up things that adults tell kids, like vitamins.
In what's becoming a holiday tradition, Disney won Thanksgiving weekend at the box office with a new family animated film, Coco. From the company's Pixar Animation Studios, brought in $71.2 million between Wednesday and yesterday. The superhero team-up Justice League grossed $59.6 million, while family drama Wonder came in number three with $32.3 million.
I think that's the movie I heard the most great things about.
Coco.
Wonder.
Oh, yes, Wonder, too.
Wonder. Even though it came in third place, it seems like from my crowd.
Agreed.
Yeah. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Pittsburgh, Boston, Minneapolis. If you're surprised to see them at the top of Bankrate's ranking of best cities for retirement, don't be. Places that might offer seniors the best standard of living may look a lot different from traditional retirement havens like Florida or Arizona. Bankrate scored the 50 largest U.S. metro areas on a number of factors. We're joined now by Taylor Tepper, analyst at Bankrate.com. Taylor, what are we learning?
You need to look beyond what the natural narrative is when you go to retire. You need to think about what's going to actually affect your life over the next 30 years. And Pittsburgh came out on top because it has a very good healthcare system. You can get good quality healthcare for decent prices. It has a good cost of living score. People are generally happy there, and there's low instances of crime. So there's a lot of factors that contributed to Pittsburgh being number one.
Wow. All right. If we were to relocate the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pittsburgh Penguins, then how does that city do on the list?
I don't know. I guess that would change the identity of the city. Maybe that would that goes beyond our scope here at Bankrate.
But To be serious, though, I think that is a city where I think a lot of millennials are finding themselves now. There's, first of all, really good colleges there. As you mentioned, the healthcare is good. I think that's become a fairly hot place for young folks, too.
Absolutely, and that's something that retirees should absolutely look at when they think about what they want to do when they sort of enter in this next phase of their life. There's a lot of very good universities and colleges in Pittsburgh, and if you want to audit a class, if you want to be part of a sort of younger cultural goings-on, Pittsburgh offers a lot of good opportunities, as does Boston, which came in number two.
All right, who else made the list?
So Boston was two, LA was three, Denver four, and Providence area rounded out number 5.
Interesting. We're speaking with Taylor Tepper, analyst at Bankrate.com. They've got a new survey about the best and worst cities in which to retire. So on the worst places to retire, what happened there? What were the, I'm saying factors, obviously, but the those cities just didn't measure up? Anything that jumped out?
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing in terms of looking at where they ranked, so the bottom five were Riverside, Memphis, Louisville, Buffalo, and Indianapolis. Those areas all did pretty poorly when it came to healthcare. So when it came to the top five cities, most of those were, ended up in the top 10 when it came to healthcare scores.
Thanks, Taylor. Taylor Tepper, analyst at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, the holidays are fast approaching. Order gifts for everyone on your list with a click of a mouse. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code DEAL in the search bar. That's 75% off. Omaha Steaks offers the most flavorful, tender-aged beef, aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavors of the cuts, hand-trimmed and vacuum-sealed. They also have veggies, desserts, appetizers, fresh seafood, and so much more. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings for our listeners. Listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus 4 additional kielbasa sausages free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code DEAL in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you could be with us on this Monday, November 27. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Politician sexual harassment accusation update. Congressman Conyers stepping down from the House Judiciary Committee, and Senator Al Franken says he's just a hugger who crossed the line. Cyber Monday, expected to be the busiest ever today. Prince Harry is engaged to actress Meghan Markle, we learned this morning. Evacuations on the Indonesian island of Bali over volcano activity. And the young man making sure nobody in high school eats alone during lunch. That story in about 20 minutes. While snagging great deals online the Monday after Thanksgiving, cyber criminals are licking their chops to get their own steals. How well protected are you for Cyber Monday today? We're joined now by Dr. Eric Cole. He's the CEO of Secure Anchor Consulting. Eric, what should we know?
First and most important is to recognize that you are going to be a target. A lot of people think, oh, so many people are shopping and I'm not that important. No one's going to come after me. But the adversary today is big business and it's all about numbers. So they want to steal 20 or 30,000 credit cards in a day. So to them, you're just a number. So you're going to be a big target. So be very careful of what you do, what websites you click, and especially what wireless access points you connect to when you're at the mall.
What are the biggest mistakes you think we still make as consumers?
Probably the biggest mistake is that everyone assumes that email is a verified, authenticated method of communication. So if you get an email from Amazon saying that there was trouble with your account or with delivering your package, everyone believes, oh, it must be Amazon, it must be legitimate, and they open the attachment and click on the link, not realizing that the adversary is playing the odds that if I send out some scam about Amazon, the probability that you bought something in the last 24 hours is very, very high, especially
wow.
around the holiday season.
Jeez. Are there lessons you find that we just ignore over and over?
Yeah, to me, the biggest lesson is when it comes to cyberspace, we lose common sense. Things that we would never do in the real world, in cyberspace, we think it's okay. And a perfect example is if you're walking through the mall and somebody comes up to you who's a stranger and says, hey, what's your name? What's your address? What's your phone number? We would look at them and say, are you crazy? And walk away from them. We would never do that. But we're surfing the web. We go to some random site we've never visited before, and it pops up and says, what's your name, what's your phone number, what's your email address, and we happily give away that information, not realizing that could make us even a bigger target.
We're speaking with Dr. Eric Cole. He's the CEO of Secure Anchor Consulting based in Northern Virginia. We're talking about how to protect your payment data this holiday season and also on Cyber Monday. What are some of these newer threats? You talked about these phishing scams. Anything new and emerging that we need to watch for?
Probably the new and emerging one is with apps on your phone, that people love to just download every random app, not realizing that a lot of these are written in Russian, can have back doors in them. The other one is be careful of the holiday gifts that you purchase. For example, the pictures that you can go in and put digital pictures on, so you plug it into your phone, you download all the pictures of the grandkids, and you give it to grandma and grandpa. 90% of those last year were infected with malware, and my guess is it's going to be a pretty similar number this year. So just be careful of the electronic gifts, because they also can give more than you think.
What about, purchasing stuff on your phone versus on a desktop? You have a preference?
If you're connected to a trusted wireless, I actually prefer your phone, and the reason is most of the malware and most of the malicious activity is written for Windows operating systems. So if you're opening email, buying things, or doing things from your desktop, there's a much higher probability of malicious activity. Wow. If you use your phone, it's a much simpler device, as long as it's trusted wireless. Mm. I recommend when you leave the house to go to the mall, turn off your wireless. Most of those wireless at stores and coffee shops are just so dangerous, you just want to avoid them at all costs.
So the basics here, if we wanted, in the best way possible to defend ourselves, are what?
First, make sure that any device you're using, whether it's a computer or whether it's your phone, make sure you have antivirus endpoint security updated. That alone will not keep you safe, but it'll provide a high level of protection. Also, I recommend during the holiday season, go into your browser settings and make your security level high. That will stop some sites from working, but it will also stop a lot of that malicious activity from occurring. And then also be careful of public Wi-Fi, and also be careful of untrusted apps that you want to download onto your phone.
Thanks, Eric. Dr. Eric Cole, CEO of Secure Anchor Consulting. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you can't blame Auburn football fans for being really excited Saturday night after taking down top-ranked Alabama in the annual Iron Bowl. It was the Crimson Tide's first loss of the season. It means Auburn will advance to the SEC championship game on Saturday. According to USA Today, after the victory, delirious fans stormed the field, but some of them had a little trouble getting there. The broadcast caught people jumping over and pushing through the bushes at Jordan-Hare Stadium to get to the field. While some succeeded, a few struggled a lot, making for some funny footage. And those who did make it wound up costing the university some money, as Auburn was fined $250,000 by the SEC for a violation of the league's access to competition area policy, citing safety concerns. What do you expect them to do? They put up the bushes, right? I mean, you can't stop people from... What can you do, really, to stop people from rushing the field, besides make an announcement for the game? I'm sure you probably have made announcements like that before, stopping people from doing things like that.
Yeah, I mean, seeing some of those, like, soccer stadiums, in places around the world where they have those enormous fences, that are 10 feet high above the first row, with access closest to the field.
But I guess that's what you can do, put up a huge cage, in the stands. But besides that, what can you do, really?
I don't know. And the fine sometimes seems a little much.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these are excited 20-year-old students looking to celebrate with their fellow students who just won an enormous football game.
It didn't take long either. It was like an hour after the game was over that they got that fine. Right. They slept. They were ready to go. SEC was ready to go
million.
With that fine. Yep.
And what's it called? The access to competition area policy.
Yes. Yes. Again, citing safety, not wanting anybody to get hurt or whatever.
Yeah. I would imagine that there's an Auburn donor who will write a check to cover that cost this morning.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. And Gordon, although many of us are excited for Cyber Monday, there are also many of us who would prefer instead to spend the day locked inside an igloo with a bucket of chicken. At least that's what the folks at KFC think, as they are offering up an internet escape pod designed to block wireless signals. The Fried Chicken Eatery's online store is offering the pod for a mere $10,000. The indoor tent features the likeness of Colonel Sanders spreading his oversized arms and torso over the structure. On its website, KFC says, find sanctuary for yourself and your loved ones under Colonel Sanders and his internet escape pod. Yep, this dome is like a magic force field designed to disrupt the internet coming to and from your devices. Good news, if you choose to plunk down 10 G's to have the Colonel kill your internet, the price tag includes the cost of a KFC representative visiting your home to assemble the tent.
Is that right?
So that's good.
Mm. It is an awkward-looking thing. I just brought it up now.
Yeah. I mean, you could just, like, you know, turn off your internet router or whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, or the funny part about this being that you spend $10,000 to block the internet from coming in, ostensibly so that you don't spend money on Cyber Monday. You don't waste your money on Cyber Monday. So maybe you spend, like, $500 or $1,000 on Cyber Monday, but you've plunked down $10,000 to prevent that from happening.
Also, haven't you purchased this online?
Well, yes.
This pod?
Well, yes. Sure. This was the last thing you purchased your internet shopping addiction
Right. Before
the Colonel comes and saves the day.
Got it. You opened the story by saying many of us are excited for Cyber Monday. Did you mean many of us among our staff here at this program?
Not necessarily in this room. Many of us in America, world, you know, the general us.
Fair enough. Thank you, Mike. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities. Which makes Michigan more than business-friendly, it makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. Can't get enough stories these days about surveys that show coffee is good for you. Here's another one. If you are a hardcore coffee lover, you no longer have to call your love of caffeine a vice. Experts say you don't have to give up your cup of joe habit to be healthy. A new study found there are health benefits in drinking 3 or even 4 cups a day. The survey examined more than 200 previous studies on coffee drinkers and found coffee lovers had lower risks of heart disease, lower risks of liver disease, Parkinson's disease, and several forms of cancer, type 2 diabetes, and more. Doctors warn this research does not mean you should pick up the habit, but if you're already drinking a lot of coffee, you don't necessarily need to stop. The survey I need is hazelnut creamer with a splash of coffee. How good for you is that? It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, with lawmakers back today from their Thanksgiving break, President Trump and congressional leaders plan a meeting tomorrow to discuss how to sidestep a shutdown and work through the legislative to-do list. Republicans are advancing their tax cut measure under special rules that mean Senate Democrats cannot use delaying tactics. The measure passed the House just before the Thanksgiving break and moves to the Senate floor this week, but its future there is uncertain. Michigan Congressman John Conyers is giving up his leadership position as top Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee. His decision comes ahead of a congressional probe into allegations of sexual harassment made against him. Conyers says he doesn't want the allegations to undermine his colleagues in the Democratic caucus or those who serve on the Judiciary Committee. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi spoke to NBC.
He will do the right thing in terms of what he knows about his situation, that he's entitled to due process, but women are entitled to due process as well.
The 88-year-old lawmaker indicates he will not resign from Congress and will keep fighting the allegations that he sexually harassed female staff members. The FBI failed to tell scores of U.S. officials about attempts to hack into their personal Gmail accounts, despite long having evidence those officials were in the Kremlin's crosshairs. The AP interviewed nearly 80 U.S. officials targeted by Fancy Bear, a Russian government-aligned cyber espionage group, and turned up only two cases in which the FBI had provided a heads up. Even senior policymakers discovered they were targets only when the AP told them, the situation some described as bizarre and dispiriting. If you've got your finger on the button, you aren't the only one. Adobe Analytics says shoppers are expected to shell out $6.6 billion online today, up 16% from last year's Cyber Monday. And for the first time, web traffic from smartphones and tablets is expected to top traffic generated from desktop computers. And we are going to have a royal wedding. Britain's Royal Palace just announced that Prince Harry and American actress Meghan Markle are engaged and will marry in June. The 33-year-old Harry is fifth in line to the British throne.
That's all? Some are five.
Yeah, he may not get there.
Right. And Meghan's okay with this, I guess.
It says her parents approve of this.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, no worries there.
We're number five. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. When the lunch bell rings at Boca Raton High School in Florida, 3,400 kids spill into the courtyard and split into their social groups. But not everyone gets included. Someone always sits alone. But Dennis Esteban, a Haitian immigrant, is trying to change that. Hard to imagine a more awkward time for a high school kid, right? Not having somebody to sit with at lunch. He remembers what it was like when he was in first grade. He told CBS that if we don't try to make that change, who's going to do it? So with some friends, he started a club called We Dine Together. Their mission is to go into the courtyard at lunchtime to make sure no one is starving for company. Since it started last year, hundreds of friendships have formed, some very unlikely. And since CBS first told the story, Dennis has graduated from high school, but not from his mission. He's now traveling the country, opening We Dine Together chapters at other schools, 15 of them so far, with more than 100 slated for the new year. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.